Judges chapter 4. The Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight after Ehud's death. The Lord turned them over to King Jabin of Canaan, who ruled in Hazor. The general of his army was Sisera, who lived in Herosheth Hagoyim. The Israelites cried out for help to the Lord, because Sisera had 900 chariots with iron-rimmed wheels, and he cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lappidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She would sit under the date palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the Ephraimite hill country. The Israelites would come up to her to have their disputes settled. She summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali. She said to him, "Is it not true that the Lord God of Israel is commanding you? Go, march to Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun. I will bring Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to you at the Kishon River, along with his chariots and huge army. I will hand him over to you." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you do not go with me, I will not go." She said, "I will indeed go with you, but you will not gain fame on the expedition you are undertaking, for the Lord will turn Sisera over to a woman." Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kedesh. Barak summoned men from Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and 10,000 men followed him. Deborah went up with him as well. Now Heber the Kenite had moved away from the Kenites and descendants of Hobab, Moses' father-in-law. He lived near the great tree of Zaanaim, near Kedesh. When Sisera heard that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, he ordered all his chariotry, 900 chariots with iron-rimmed wheels, and all the troops he had with him to go from Herosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Deborah said to Barak, "Spring into action, for this is the day the Lord is handing Sisera over to you. Has the Lord not taken the lead?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. The Lord routed Sisera, all his chariotry, and all his army with the edge of the sword. Sisera jumped out of his chariot and ran away on foot. Now Barak chased the chariots and the army all the way to Herosheth Hagoyim. Sisera's whole army died by the edge of the sword. Not even one survived. Now Sisera ran away on foot to the tent of Jael, wife of Heber the Kenite. For King Jabin of Hazor and the family of Heber the Kenite had made a peace treaty. Jael came out to welcome Sisera. She said to him, "Stop and rest, my lord. Stop and rest with me. Don't be afraid." So Sisera stopped to rest in her tent, and she put a blanket over him. He said to her, "Give me a little water to drink, because I'm thirsty." She opened a goatskin container of milk and gave him some milk to drink. Then she covered him up again. He said to her, "Stand watch at the entrance to the tent. If anyone comes along and asks you, 'Is there a man here?' say no." Then Jael, wife of Heber, took a tent peg in one hand and a hammer in the other. She crept up on him, drove the tent peg through his temple into the ground while he was asleep from exhaustion, and he died. Now Barak was chasing Sisera. Jael went out to welcome him. She said to him, "Come here, and I will show you the man you are searching for." He went with her into the tent, and there he saw Sisera sprawled out dead, with the tent peg through his temple. That day God humiliated King Jabin of Canaan before the Israelites. Israel's power continued to overwhelm King Jabin of Canaan until they did away with him. Judges chapter 5. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this victory song. When the leaders took the lead in Israel, when the people answered the call to war, praise the Lord. Hear, O kings, pay attention, O rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord God of Israel. O Lord, when you departed from Seir, when you marched from Edom's plains, the earth shook, the heavens poured down, the clouds poured down rain. The mountains trembled before the Lord, the God of Sinai, before the Lord God of Israel. in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, caravans disappeared. Travelers had to go on winding side roads. Warriors were scarce. They were scarce in Israel. Until you arose, Deborah. Until you arose as a motherly protector in Israel. God chose new leaders. Then fighters appeared in the city gates. But I swear, not a shield or spear could be found among 40 military units in Israel. My heart went out to Israel's leaders, to the people who answered the call to war. Praise the Lord. You who ride on light-colored female donkeys, who sit on saddle blankets. You who walk on the road, pay attention. Hear the sound of those who divide the sheep among the watering places. There they tell of the Lord's victorious deeds, the victorious deeds of his warriors in Israel. Then the Lord's people went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah, wake up, sing a song. Get up, Barak, capture your prisoners of war, son of Abinoam. Then the survivors came down to the mighty ones. The Lord's people came down to me as warriors. They came from Ephraim, who uprooted Amalek. They follow after you, Benjamin, with your soldiers. From Machir, leaders came down. From Zebulun came the ones who march carrying an officer's staff. Issachar's leaders were with Deborah. The men of Issachar supported Barak. Into the valley they were sent under Barak's command. Among the clans of Reuben there was intense heart-searching. Why do you remain among the sheepfolds, listening to the shepherds playing their pipes for their flocks? As for the clans of Reuben, there was intense searching of heart. Gilead stayed put beyond the Jordan River. As for Dan, why did he seek temporary employment in the shipyards? Asher remained on the seacoast. He stayed by his harbors. The men of Zebulun were not concerned about their lives. Naphtali charged onto the battlefields. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo, but they took no silver as plunder. From the sky the stars fought. From their paths in the heavens they fought against Sisera. The Kishon River carried them off. The river confronted them. The Kishon River. Step on the necks of the strong. The horses' hooves pounded the ground. The stallions galloped madly. Call judgment down on Miraz, says the angel of the Lord. Be sure to call judgment down on those who live there, because they did not come to help in the Lord's battle, to help in the Lord's battle against the warriors. The most rewarded of women should be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. She should be the most rewarded of women who live in tents. He asked for water, and she gave him milk in a bowl fit for a king. She served him curds. Her left hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She hammered Sisera. She shattered his skull. She smashed his head. She drove the tent peg through his temple. Between her feet he collapsed. He fell limp and was lifeless. Between her feet he collapsed and fell. In the spot where he collapsed, there he fell, violently killed. Through the window she looked. Sisera's mother cried out through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so slow to return? Why are the hoofbeats of his chariot horses delayed?" The wisest of her ladies answer, "Indeed, she even thinks to herself, no doubt they are gathering and dividing the plunder, a girl or two for each man to rape. Sisera is grabbing up colorful cloth. He is grabbing up colorful embroidered cloth. 2 pieces of colorful embroidered cloth for the neck of the plunderer. May all your enemies perish like this, O Lord. But may those who love you shine like the rising sun at its brightest." And the land had rest for 40 years. Judges chapter 6. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord turned them over to Midian for 7 years. The Midianites overwhelmed Israel. Because of Midian, the Israelites made shelters for themselves in the hills, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the people from the east would attack them. They invaded the land and devoured its crops all the way to Gaza. They left nothing for the Israelites to eat, and they took away the sheep, oxen, and donkeys. When they invaded with their cattle and tents, they were as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could be counted. They came to devour the land. Israel was so severely weakened by Midian that the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said to them, "This is what the Lord God of Israel has said. I brought you up from Egypt and took you out of that place of slavery. I rescued you from Egypt's power and from the power of all who oppressed you. I drove them out before you and gave their land to you. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But you have disobeyed me." The angel of the Lord came down and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah, owned by Joash, the Abiezrite. He arrived while Joash's son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress so he could hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, "The Lord is with you, courageous warrior." Gideon said to him, "Pardon me, but if the Lord is with us, why has such disaster overtaken us? Where are all his miraculous deeds our ancestors told us about? They said, 'Did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." Then the Lord himself turned to him and said, "You have the strength. Deliver Israel from the power of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Gideon said to him, "But Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Just look! My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my family." The Lord said to him, "Ah, but I will be with you. You will strike down the whole Midianite army." Gideon said to him, "If you really are pleased with me, then give me a sign as proof that it really is you speaking with me. Do not leave this place until I come back with a gift and present it to you." The Lord said, "I will stay here until you come back." Gideon went and prepared a young goat, along with unleavened bread made from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot. He brought the food to him under the oak tree and presented it to him. God's angel said to him, "Put the meat and unleavened bread on this rock and pour out the broth." Gideon did as instructed. The angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff. Fire flared up from the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. The angel of the Lord then disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Oh no, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "You are safe. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die." Gideon built an altar for the Lord there and named it, "The Lord is on friendly terms with me." To this day, it is still there in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That night, the Lord said to him, "Take the bull from your father's herd, as well as a second bull, one that is 7 years old. Pull down on your father's Baal altar and cut down the nearby Asherah pole. Then build an altar for the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold, according to the proper pattern. Take the second bull and offer it as a burnt sacrifice on the wood from the Asherah pole that you cut down." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did just as the Lord had told him. He was too afraid of his father's family and the men of the city to do it in broad daylight, so he waited until nighttime. When the men of the city got up the next morning, they saw the Baal altar pulled down, the nearby Asherah pole cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They said to one another, "Who did this?" They investigated the matter thoroughly and concluded that Gideon, son of Joash, had done it. The men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son so we can execute him. He pulled down the Baal altar and cut down the nearby Asherah pole." But Joash said to all those who confronted him, "Must you fight Baal's battles? Must you rescue him? Whoever takes up his cause will die by morning. If he really is a god, let him fight his own battles. After all, it was his altar that was pulled down. That very day, Gideon's father named him Jerub-Baal, because he had said, let Baal fight with him, for it was his altar that was pulled down. All the Midianites, Amalekites, and the people from the east assembled. They crossed the Jordan River and camped in the Jezreel Valley. The Lord's Spirit took control of Gideon. He blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh and summoned them to follow him as well. He also sent messengers throughout Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Gideon said to God, "If you really intend to use me to deliver Israel as you promised, then give me a sign as proof. Look, I am putting a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece, and the ground around it is dry, then I will be sure that you will use me to deliver Israel, as you promised." The Lord did as he asked. When he got up the next morning, he squeezed the fleece, and enough dew dripped from it to fill a bowl. Gideon said to God, "Please do not get angry at me when I ask for just one more sign. Please, allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make only the fleece dry while the ground around it is covered with dew." That night, God did as he asked. Only the fleece was dry, and the ground around it was covered with dew. Judges chapter 7. Jerub-Baal, that is Gideon, and his men got up the next morning and camped near the spring of Herod. The Midianites were camped north of them, near the hill of Morah in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to hand Midian over to you. Israel might brag, 'Our own strength has delivered us.' Now announce to the men, 'Whoever is shaking with fear may turn around and leave Mount Gilead.'" 22,000 men went home. 10,000 remained. The Lord spoke to Gideon again, "There are still too many men. Bring them down to the water, and I will thin the ranks some more. When I say, 'This one should go with you,' pick him to go. When I say, 'This one should not go with you,' do not take him." So he brought the men down to the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "Separate those who lap the water as a dog laps from those who kneel to drink." Only 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. The rest of the men kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will deliver the whole army, and I will hand Midian over to you. The rest of the men should go home." The men who were chosen took supplies and their trumpets. Gideon sent all the men of Israel back to their homes. He kept only 300 men. Now the Midianites were camped down below in the valley. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, attack the camp, for I am handing it over to you. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and listen to what they are saying. Then you will be brave and attack the camp." So he went down with Purah, his servant, to where the sentries were guarding the camp. Now the Midianites, Amalekites, and the people from the east covered the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels could not be counted. They were as innumerable as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon arrived, he heard a man telling another man about a dream he had. The man said, "Look, I had a dream. I saw a stale cake of barley bread rolling into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent so hard, it knocked it over and turned it upside down. The tent just collapsed." The other man said, "Without a doubt, this symbolizes the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God is handing Midian and all the army over to him." When Gideon heard the report of the dream and its interpretation, he praised God. Then he went back to the Israelite camp and said, "Get up, for the Lord is handing the Midianite army over to you." He divided the 300 men into three units. He gave them all trumpets and empty jars with torches inside them. He said to them, "Watch me and do as I do. Watch closely. I am going to the edge of the camp. Do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, you also blow your trumpets all around the camp. Then say, for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon took 100 men to the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guards. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars they were carrying. All three units blew their trumpets and broke their jars. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right. Then they yelled, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon! They stood in order all around the camp. The whole Midianite army ran away. They shouted as they scrambled away. When the 300 men blew their trumpets, the Lord caused the Midianites to attack one another with their swords throughout the camp. The army fled to Bethshittah on the way to Zerora. They went to the border of Abel-Meholah near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh answered the call and chased the Midianites. Now Gideon sent messengers throughout the Ephraimite hill country who announced, go down and head off the Midianites. Take control of the fords of the streams all the way to Bethbara and the Jordan River. When all the Ephraimites had assembled, they took control of the fords all the way to Bethbara and the Jordan River. They captured the two Midianite generals, Oreb and Zeeb. They executed Oreb on the rock of Oreb and Zeeb in the winepress of Zeeb. They chased the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, who was now on the other side of the Jordan River. Judges chapter 8. The Ephraimites said to him, why have you done such a thing to us? Why did you not summon us when you went to fight the Midianites? They argued vehemently with him. He said to them, now what have I accomplished compared to you? Even Ephraim's leftover grapes are better quality than Abiezer's harvest. It was to you that God handed over the Midianite generals, Oreb and Zeeb. What did I accomplish to rival that? When he said this, they calmed down. Now Gideon and his 300 men had crossed over the Jordan River, and even though they were exhausted, they were still chasing the Midianites. He said to the men of Succoth, give some loaves of bread to the men who are following me, because they are exhausted. I am chasing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. The officials of Succoth said, you have not yet overpowered Zeba and Zalmunna. Why should we give bread to your army? Gideon said, since you will not help, after the Lord hands Zeba and Zalmunna over to me, I will thresh your skin with desert thorns and briars. He went up from there to Penuel and made the same request. The men of Penuel responded the same way the men of Succoth had. He also threatened the men of Penuel, warning, when I return victoriously, I will tear down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with their armies. There were about 15,000 survivors from the army of the eastern peoples. 120,000 sword-wielding soldiers had been killed. Gideon went up the road of the nomads east of Nobah and Jogbaha and ambushed the surprised army. When Zeba and Zalmunna ran away, Gideon chased them and captured the two Midianite kings, Zeba and Zalmunna. He had surprised their entire army. Gideon, son of Joash, returned from the battle by the pass of Heres. He captured a young man from Succoth and interrogated him. The young man wrote down for him the names of Succoth's officials and city leaders, 77 men in all. He approached the men of Succoth and said, look what I have, Zeba and Zalmunna. You insulted me, saying you have not yet overpowered Zeba and Zalmunna. So why should we give bread to your exhausted men? He seized the leaders of the city, along with some desert thorns and briars. He then threshed the men of Succoth with them. He also tore down the tower of Penuel and executed the city's men. He said to Zeba and Zalmunna, describe for me the men you killed at Tabor. They said, they were like you. Each one looked like a king's son. He said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. I swear, as surely as the Lord is alive, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. He ordered Jether, his firstborn son, come on, kill them. But Jether was too afraid to draw his sword, because he was still young. Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon,
Come on, you strike us, for a man is judged by his strength.
So Gideon killed Zeba and Zalmunna, and he took the crescent-shaped ornaments that were on the necks of their camels. The men of Israel said to Gideon,
Rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, for you have delivered us from Midian's power.
Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. Gideon continued,
I would like to make one request. Each of you give me an earring from the plunder you have taken.
The Midianites had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. They said,
We are happy to give you earrings.
So they spread out a garment, and each one threw an earring from his plunder onto it. The total weight of the gold earrings he requested came to 1,700 gold shekels. This was in addition to the crescent-shaped ornaments, jewelry, purple clothing worn by the Midianite kings, and the necklaces on the camels. Gideon used all this to make an ephod, which he put in his hometown of Ophrah. All the Israelites prostituted themselves to it by worshipping it there. It became a snare to Gideon and his family. The Israelites humiliated Midian. The Midianites' fighting spirit was broken. The land had rest for 40 years during Gideon's time. Then Jerubbaal, son of Joash, went home and settled down. Gideon fathered 70 sons through his many wives. His concubine, who lived in Shechem, also gave him a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon, son of Joash, died at a very old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash, located in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. After Gideon died, the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They made Baal-berith their god. The Israelites did not remain true to the Lord their God, who had delivered them from all the enemies who lived around them. They did not treat the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, fairly, in return for all the good he had done for Israel. Judges chapter 9. Now Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to see his mother's relatives. He said to them, and to his mother's entire extended family, Tell all the leaders of Shechem this. Why would you want to have 70 men, all Jerubbaal's sons, ruling over you, when you can have just one ruler? Recall that I am your own flesh and blood. His mother's relatives spoke on his behalf to all the leaders of Shechem and reported his proposal. The leaders were drawn to Abimelech. They said, He is our close relative. They paid him 70 silver shekels out of the temple of Baal-berith. Abimelech then used the silver to hire some lawless, dangerous men as his followers. He went to his father's home in Ophrah and murdered his half-brothers, the 70 legitimate sons of Jerubbaal, on one stone. Only Jotham, Jerubbaal's youngest son, escaped because he hid. All the leaders of Shechem and Beth Millo assembled and then went and made Abimelech king by the oak near the pillar in Shechem. When Jotham heard the news, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim. He spoke loudly to the people below, Listen to me, leaders of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. The trees were determined to go out and choose a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, Be our king. But the olive tree said to them, I am not going to stop producing my oil, which is used to honor gods and men, just to sway above the other trees. So the trees said to the fig tree, You, come and be our king. But the fig tree said to them, I am not going to stop producing my sweet figs, my excellent fruit, just to sway above the other trees. So the trees said to the grapevine, You, come and be our king. But the grapevine said to them, I am not going to stop producing my wine, which makes gods and men so happy, just to sway above the other trees. So all the trees said to the thorn bush, You come and be our king. The thorn bush said to the trees, If you really want to choose me as your king, then come along, find safety under my branches. Otherwise, may fire blaze from the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, if you had shown loyalty and integrity when you made Abimelech king, if you had done right to Jerubbaal and his family, if you had properly repaid him, my father fought for you. He risked his life and delivered you from Midian's power. But you have attacked my father's family today. You murdered his 70 legitimate sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his female slave, king over the leaders of Shechem, just because he is your close relative. So if you have shown loyalty and integrity to Jerubbaal and his family today, then may Abimelech bring you happiness, and may you bring him happiness. But if not, may fire blaze from Abimelech and consume the leaders of Shechem and Beth Millo. May fire also blaze from the leaders of Shechem and Beth Millo and consume Abimelech. Then Jotham ran away to Beer and lived there to escape from Abimelech, his half-brother. Abimelech commanded Israel for 3 years. God sent a spirit to stir up hostility between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. He made the leaders of Shechem disloyal to Abimelech. He did this so the violent deaths of Jerubbaal's 70 sons might be avenged, and Abimelech, their half-brother who murdered them, might have to pay for their spilled blood, along with the leaders of Shechem who helped him murder them. The leaders of Shechem rebelled against Abimelech by putting bandits in the hills who robbed everyone who traveled by on the road. But Abimelech found out about it. Gaal, son of Ebed, came through Shechem with his brothers. The leaders of Shechem transferred their loyalty to him. They went out to the field, harvested their grapes, squeezed out the juice, and celebrated. They came to the temple of their god and ate, drank, and cursed Abimelech. Gaal, son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal, and is not Zebul the deputy he appointed? Serve the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve Abimelech? If only these men were under my command, I would get rid of Abimelech." He challenged Abimelech, "Muster your army and come out for battle." When Zebul, the city commissioner, heard the words of Gaal, son of Ebed, he was furious. He sent messengers to Abimelech, who is in Arumah, reporting, "Beware! Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers are coming to Shechem and inciting the city to rebel against you. Now come up at night with your men and set an ambush in the field outside the city. In the morning at sunrise, quickly attack the city. When he and his men come out to fight you, do what you can to him." So Abimelech and all his men came up at night and set an ambush outside Shechem. They divided into 4 units. When Gaal, son of Ebed, came out and stood at the entrance to the city's gate, Abimelech and his men got up from their hiding places. Gaal saw the men and said to Zebul, "Look, men are coming down from the tops of the hills." But Zebul said to him, "You are seeing the shadows on the hills. It just looks like men." Gaal again said, "Look, men are coming down from the very center of the land. A unit is coming by way of the oak tree of the diviners." Zebul said to him, "Where now are your bragging words? Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Are these not the men you insulted? Go out now and fight them." So Gaal led the leaders of Shechem out and fought Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and Gaal ran from him. Many Shechemites fell wounded at the entrance of the gate. Abimelech went back to Arumah. Zebul drove Gaal and his brothers out of Shechem. The next day the Shechemites came out to the field. When Abimelech heard about it, he took his men and divided them into 3 units and set an ambush in the field. When he saw the people coming out of the city, he attacked and struck them down. Abimelech and his units attacked and blocked the entrance to the city's gate. 2 units then attacked all the people in the field and struck them down. Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He captured the city and killed all the people in it. Then he leveled the city and spread salt over it. When all the leaders of the Tower of Shechem heard the news, they went to the stronghold of the Temple of El-Berith. Abimelech heard that all the leaders of the Tower of Shechem were in one place. He and all his men were up on Mount Zalmon. He took an axe in his hand and cut off a tree branch. He put it on his shoulder and said to his men, "Quickly, do what you have just seen me do." So Each of his men also cut off a branch and followed Abimelech. They put the branches against the stronghold and set fire to it. All the people of the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Abimelech moved on to Thebes. He besieged and captured it. There was a fortified tower in the center of the city, so all the men and women, as well as the city's leaders, ran into it and locked the entrance. Then they went up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech came and attacked the tower. When he approached the entrance of the tower to set it on fire, a woman threw an upper millstone down on his head and shattered his skull. He quickly called to the young man who carried his weapons, "Draw your sword and kill me, so they will not say a woman killed him." So the young man stabbed him, and he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they went home. God repaid Abimelech for the evil he did to his father by murdering his 70 half-brothers. God also repaid the men of Shechem for their evil deeds. The curse spoken by Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, fell on them. Judges chapter 10. After Abimelech's death, Tola, son of Pua, grandson of Dodo, from the tribe of Issachar, rose up to deliver Israel. He lived in Shemir in the Ephraimite hill country. He led Israel for 23 years, then died and was buried in Shemir. Jair the Gileadite rose up after him. He led Israel for 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys and possessed 30 cities. To this day, these towns are called Havoth-Jair. They are in the land of Gilead. Jair died and was buried in Canaan. The Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. They worshipped the Baals and the Ashtaroths, as well as the gods of Syria, Sidon, Moab, the Ammonites, and the Philistines. They abandoned the Lord and did not worship him. The Lord was furious with Israel and turned them over to the Philistines and Ammonites. They ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites that 18th year. That is, all the Israelites living east of Jordan in Amorite country in Gilead. The Ammonites crossed the Jordan to fight with Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. Israel suffered greatly. The Israelites cried out for help to the Lord. "We have sinned against you. We abandoned our God and worshipped the Baals." The Lord said to the Israelites, "Did I not deliver you from Egypt, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, Amalek, and Midian when they oppressed you? You cried out for help to me, and I delivered you from their power. But since you abandoned me and worshipped other gods, I will not deliver you again. Go and cry for help to the gods you have chosen. Let them deliver you from trouble." But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. You do to us as you see fit, but deliver us today." They threw away the foreign gods they owned and worshipped the Lord. Finally, the Lord grew tired of seeing Israel suffer so much. The Ammonites assembled and camped in Gilead. The Israelites gathered together and camped in Mizpah. The leaders of Gilead said to one another, "Who is willing to lead the charge against the Ammonites? He will become the leader of all who live in Gilead." Judges chapter 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a brave warrior. His mother was a prostitute, but Gilead was his father. Gilead's wife also gave him sons. When his wife's sons grew up, they made Jephthah leave and said to him, "You are not going to inherit any of our father's wealth, because you are another woman's son." So Jephthah left his half-brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Lawless men joined Jephthah's gang and traveled with him. It was some time after this when the Ammonites fought with Israel. When the Ammonites attacked, the leaders of Gilead asked Jephthah to come back from the land of Tob. They said, "Come, be our commander, so we can fight with the Ammonites." Jephthah said to the leaders of Gilead, "But you hated me and made me leave my father's house. Why do you come to me now when you are in trouble?" The leaders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That may be true, but now we pledge to you our loyalty. Come with us and fight with the Ammonites. Then you will become the leader of all who live in Gilead." Jephthah said to the leaders of Gilead, "All right, if you take me back to fight with the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me, I will be your leader." The leaders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will judge any grievance you have against us if we do not do as you say." So Jephthah went with the leaders of Gilead. The people made him their leader and commander. Jephthah repeated the terms of the agreement before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers to the Ammonite king, saying, "Why have you come against me to attack my land?" The Ammonite king said to Jephthah's messengers, "Because Israel stole my land when they came up from Egypt, from the Arnon River in the south to the Jabbok River in the north, and as far west as the Jordan. Now return it peaceably." Jephthah sent messengers back to the Ammonite king and said to him, "This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not steal the land of Moab and the land of the Ammonites. When they left Egypt, Israel traveled through the desert as far as the Red Sea, and then came to Kadesh. Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please allow us to pass through your land.' But the king of Edom rejected the request. Israel sent the same request to the king of Moab, but he was unwilling to cooperate. So Israel stayed at Kadesh. Then Israel went through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab. They traveled east of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon River. They did not go through Moabite territory." The Arnon was Moab's border. "Israel sent messengers to King Sihon, the Amorite king, who ruled in Heshbon, and said to him, 'Please allow us to pass through your land to our land.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. He assembled his whole army, camped at Jahaz, and fought with Israel. The Lord God of Israel handed Sihon and his whole army over to Israel, and they defeated them. Israel took all the land of the Amorites who lived in that land. They took all the Amorite territory, from the Arnon River on the south, to the Jabbok River on the north, from the desert in the east to the Jordan in the west. Since the Lord God of Israel has driven out the Amorites before his people Israel, do you think you can just take it from them? You have the right to take what Chemosh, your god, gives you, but we will take the land of all whom the Lord our God has driven out before us. Are you really better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he dare to quarrel with Israel? Did he dare to fight with them? Israel has been living in Heshbon and its nearby towns, in Aroer and its nearby towns, and in all the cities along the Arnon for 300 years. Why did you not reclaim them during that time? I have not done you wrong, but you are doing wrong by attacking me. May the Lord, the judge, judge this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites." But the Ammonite king disregarded the message sent by Jephthah. The Lord's spirit empowered Jephthah. He passed through Gilead and Manasseh and went to Mizpah in Gilead. From there, he approached the Ammonites. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, saying, "If you really do hand the Ammonites over to me, then whoever is the first to come through the doors of my house to meet me when I return safely from fighting the Ammonites, he will belong to the Lord, and I will offer him up as a burnt sacrifice." Jephthah approached the Ammonites to fight with them, and the Lord handed them over to him. He defeated them from Aroer all the way to Minnith, 20 cities in all, even as far as Abel-Keramim. He wiped them out. The Israelites humiliated the Ammonites. When Jephthah came home to Mizpah, there was his daughter, hurrying out to meet him, dancing to the rhythm of tambourines. She was his only child. Except for her, he had no son or daughter. When he saw her, he ripped his clothes and said, "Oh no, my daughter, you have completely ruined me. You have brought me disaster. I made an oath to the Lord, and I cannot break it." She said to him, "My father, since you made an oath to the Lord, do to me as you promised. After all, the Lord vindicated you before your enemies, the Ammonites." Then she said to her father, "Please grant me this one wish. For 2 months, allow me to walk through the hills with my friends and mourn my virginity." He said, "You may go." He permitted her to leave for 2 months. She went with her friends and mourned her virginity as she walked through the hills. After 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed. She died a virgin. Her tragic death gave rise to a custom in Israel. Every year, Israelite women commemorate the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite for 4 days. Judges chapter 12. The Ephraimites assembled and crossed over to Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, "Why did you go and fight with the Ammonites without asking us to go with you? We will burn your house down right over you." Jephthah said to them, "My people and I were in a struggle, and the Ammonites were oppressing me greatly. I asked for your help, but you did not deliver me from their power. When I saw that you were not going to help, I risked my life and advanced against the Ammonites, and the Lord handed them over to me. Why have you come to fight with me today?" Jephthah assembled all the men of Gilead, and they fought with Ephraim. The men of Gilead defeated Ephraim, because the Ephraimites insulted them, saying, "You Gileadites are refugees in Ephraim, living within Ephraim's and Manasseh's territory." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan River opposite Ephraim. Whenever an Ephraimite fugitive said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said no, then they said to him, "Say Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth and could not pronounce the word correctly, they grabbed him and executed him right there at the fords of the Jordan. On that day, 42,000 Ephraimites fell dead. Jephthah led Israel for 6 years. Then he died and was buried in his town in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons. He arranged for 30 of his daughters to be married outside his extended family. And he arranged for 30 young women to be brought from outside as wives for his sons. Ibzan led Israel for 7 years. Then he died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel for 10 years. Then Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites.